Hi there, thank you for tuning in. I am Dilara Farhadian.
And I am Dave Kiran.
And we are the hosts of Innovation Fuel.
Innovation Fuel is a weekly business podcast brought to you by the University of Canada West. Each episode, we bring you stories by entrepreneurs, business owners, and key industry professionals.
Check out our previous episodes where we discuss with our guests the impact of the COVID-19 on the e-commerce industry, the tools available in BC for entrepreneurs, the importance of partnerships.
If you'd like to know more, or you're an entrepreneur with a great story that we could share with our students and our audience, please visit us at www.ucanwest.ca/innovationfuel to learn more about our upcoming episodes and how you might be able to get involved. So, Galari, how are you doing?
I am fine. I'm working from home, as you know. Perfect work-life balance.
Well, Galari, are you ready?
I am ready, Dave. Let's go.
Without further ado, let's ignite today's episode of Innovation Fuel.
Today, we have Iman Agai joining us. He's founder of Success Road Academy and TEDx Speakers and the author of Ultimate Course Formula. How are you, Iman?
I am doing great and excited to be here with you guys.
We are so excited to having you, Iman. Can you explain a little bit about your journey to become an entrepreneur and successful Canadian immigrant?
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question for me because I actually have never been an employee in my life. I started my first business when I was 18 years old and I failed at that business really, really badly in 3 months. So, as I was growing up, my dad was an entrepreneur and I kind of grew up with him seeing all the things that he did. And right away with the moment that I could actually start my own business, I started my own business and actually failed really badly at that one. And then the next day after that one, a friend of my dad actually came to our home and said, hey, you know, do you want to come and have coffee with me? I went to have a conversation with him and he said, well, what's up with you? And I'm like, well, I just lost everything and just kind of like broke and got to start again. And he was like, well, if you want to become an entrepreneur, I can mentor you. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. Actually, I always wanted to have a mentor to help me. And so he helped me to build a good, successful company, IT company. And I sold it when I was 23. So, and then when I was 25, we decided to move to Canada. And we were hoping that our money follows us, and it didn't. So my wife and I landed here hoping that we have some time to learn English, to build our network, all of those things. And then when we landed, we realized that our money is not going to follow us. And that pushed us to a place that we were almost 17 days away from becoming homeless when I decided that to stop looking for a job. Because to that point, I was looking for a job. I was like, I've never even sold a match here, let alone like wanted to own a company, right? But then when I was 17 days away from becoming homeless, I was like, if you don't give it to me, I'll build it myself. If you don't give me a job, I'm going to build my job myself. And that day I started my company. 3 days later, I found my first customer in a web design company. And that client paid us $1,800. And that money we paid for our food, bought us some, paid for our rent. And then next month, we got another client. And the next month, and I took that company to six figures. And then something happened in my life that I ended up on my deathbed. And it started bleeding internally and I was rushed to the hospital. And as I was there, doctors realized I've lost 60% of my blood. And as I was lying on my deathbed, I realized if I die that day, I haven't made the impact I wanted to make in the world. And I said, if I ever get a second chance, this summer I will live a life that is true to my heart. And that's making an impact in the world. And when I survived my deathbed, I said, I'm going to make an impact in the lives of 100 million people. And the only way I can do that is by helping 10,000 people to make an impact in the lives of 10,000 people each. And that's when Success Road Academy was born, which is the current company that I have. And we started working with coaches, consultants, authors, and speakers and helping them to, you know, build their businesses successfully. And over the years, I started kind of creating systems and procedures. And then that led into me investing in new companies and buying new companies and so we build a portfolio of companies mostly on the education business.
What a wonderful story, and the story too, of personal story too, of your personal journey here and the struggle here at the end. But all those failures, did those elements help you to become the entrepreneur you are today?
Absolutely, Dave. I always say, overnight success took 10 years to build, and it takes years and years of failures and mistakes and learning from those failures and mistakes to know actually how to do things right. I remember a few years back, I was in an event that they're supposed to name the event The Power of Vision. And when I walked in on the board, they had written the success story of Iman Agai. I was looking at it. I was like, there is something wrong with that title. And I couldn't grasp, like, what's wrong with it, right? And as I went on the stage to talk, like, the moment I put my foot on the stage, I realized, oh, I know what the problem with tonight is, with the title of tonight is. I sat, and I went, I asked them, I said, can you give me a chair? They gave me a chair. I sat on the chair, and I said, guys, here's a problem with the title of tonight. There is nothing called the success story of Iman Agai. I'm a master failure. I fail every single day in my life. And once in a while, I fail at failing, and other people call it a success. But to me, it's just another day. I just happened to fail at failing that day. And that's the reality. It's like, yeah, absolutely. Every failure was just a way of not doing it again that way, you know? And that made a huge difference, obviously, in the way that we build the companies and grow the businesses and everything that we do right now.
Exciting. Just inspiring, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs going out into the world today, they hit that first failure and it's demolishing to them. And to be able to pick yourself back up again and continue that journey and maybe face a couple more before you actually hit that success. And to hear that, and you hear that lots, but now hearing it through you in this conversation, you know, man, it's inspiring.
Wonderful, Iman. It's your story always is beautiful. I followed you on your Instagram, Facebook, and then I looked at your YouTube as well. It's a beautiful stories, and it's very enjoyable. Of course, it has a lot of lessons for our students, especially if they want to take the entrepreneurship track for their life. Let's a little bit talk about you and your business. Do you have any other side business rather than Success Road, Academy Success Road? Yeah.
So I have actually several companies. We don't normally talk about them, but I'm kind of a silent partner in several businesses. One of my main companies that I actually talk a lot about it is JV Insider Circle, which is a network of joint venture partnership, which is actually a very important piece of success in business for people. And I think one of the reasons that many entrepreneurs fail is because they have no idea what joint ventures are and how they can joint venture with each other and how they can actually benefit from that, especially for my target market, which is coaches, authors, speakers, consultants. But even in other networks, like when I had my web design company, the reason I found my first client in 3 days was because I had a joint venture partner and I knew how to use joint venture partners. Several years back, I actually looked into it. I'm like, you know what? I want to own a JV network. So I actually bought my own JV network last year. And then there are some other businesses, like one of the businesses that I'm involved in, we educate entrepreneurs on how to sell their content and intellectual property to other businesses and corporations. And I have an investment co and I have an IP co, which means intellectual property corporation that develops intellectual property, protects it, and also licenses it out to other businesses and corporations that they want to use that intellectual property to train and educate their customers.
Wonderful. Can you explain Success Road Academy and what are the products that you're selling?
Yeah. The core of Success Road Academy is based on teaching people how to create and sell online courses. And we have one program called Ultimate Course Formula. It's actually the formula that I created back in 2015. and actually wrote a book on it and created systems and procedures, everything on it. So people can actually get access to it anywhere from $1 on Kindle all the way to actually full mentorship program up to $8,000. And actually, we can talk about that a little bit, because sometimes entrepreneurs don't realize like how you can have one thing and have any price from $1 to $8,000. And they're like, how does that work? Right. So we can talk a lot about that, because lots of people think knowledge changes people's lives. And that's not the reality. It's the accountability and support that changes people's lives and is real value in things. But anyway, we can talk about that. But then at that next level, we use a model called the Ascension model. So there are different types of business models out there. And we use a model called the Ascension model, which means that students start with us at a lower price point, and then they go at a higher price point, which for us, we have a program called Lead Mastermind that is $18,000. Or we have the one-on-one mentorship with me, which begins at $120,000 a year, plus some other bonuses and stuff, which can go to about $200,000 a year. So the key there, though, is in the Ascension model, you actually build a relationship with people. So they get to know you, they understand you, they understand your values, they understand what you stand for. And that helps people to want to work deeper at a higher level and get better results, because you increase that accountability and support, which I referred to a few minutes ago.
It's great. So you're explaining the very well who's your client and their product is. So do you have a different product? Am I right? So it's not just one. So you have the Ultimate Course Formula, and you have Inspiration Speakers. Am I right? And the Marketing right. Mastery. So is, they have a different products with a different client's type.
Exactly. So we have 55 online courses in the back end of our system. We don't publicly sell them all the time. The reason we don't sell them all the time publicly is because it creates confusion on the number of products and makes it very hard for people to take action. So we usually limit it to like certain areas, so we can actually focus on those pieces and create a system that people take one step at a time. And two major programs that we have out there is Inspirational Speakers Formula and Ultimate Course Formula. We call those two systems, those two programs, as an introductory systems to our business. And then we have an event called Marketing Mastery Summit, which in our industry, they are called enrollment events, meaning that people come, they learn a lot, but then at that point, they decide to work with us at the $18,000 or $120,000 level. And so they work with us for 6 weeks in Ultimate Course Formula, Inspiration Speakers Formula. They come, and then at that point, we may invite them to take advantage of any other 55 courses that we have. In a packaged model, as opposed to selling one thing at a time.
So, Iman, how do you start the funnel on this element? How do you start to drive those individuals to come to you and to your offering?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. So we always begin with a piece of free education. So for example, for Ultimate Course Formula, we have an automated webinar funnel that whenever I go on a podcast, on a radio show, on a TV show, anywhere else that I go, I always talk about, for example, if I'm talking about course creation, I talk about these 8 steps that help you to create and sell your course in 60 days or less. But because on a podcast, I don't have time to go to the details of it, I gift you a 90-minute training to go and learn about all the details of it, right? So we send people to that webinar. On the webinar, people learn about the 8 steps. And then at the end of the webinar, we invite them to take advantage of the course, which we give them an exclusive offer. So at that point, they buy the course, and then they come to our weekly live classes online. They're weekly live online classes, and they go from weekly live online classes to Marketing Mastery Summit, and then from there go up. So that's one sort of traffic. So there are three sources of traffic. One is called the joint venture traffic, which is podcasts, radio shows, TV shows, YouTube channels, and other people who have a mailing list. The other one is called the social traffic, which is when you own your own podcast or your own YouTube channel, as opposed to being a guest on somebody else. And the third one is cold traffic, which means running ads on Facebook, running ads on YouTube, and other pieces. In my business, the majority of our traffic right now comes from the JV traffic and our social traffic.
And do you have like industry partners and key partners that you sort of, because we talk about entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship is not a lone wolf element. It's looking at how do I collaborate with individuals around me to get the maximum support? Can you tell us a little bit more about how you might collaborate?
Absolutely. I actually love the fact that you use the word collaborate because we have an event called Collaborate, which is exactly designed in that we have that in one of my companies, JV Insider Circle. So we have an event. It's a 3-day event called Collaborate when we bring all the entrepreneurs and we say, hey, you know, connect with each other, collaborate with each other, understand what it is that everybody does and help and support each other to share your message and knowledge with more people. So absolutely. So actually, when it comes to the word collaborate, there are 3 levels of partnerships that you can look at. One is a business partnership. The other one is production partnership. And the third one is promotional partnership. And depending on where you are in the business, you are looking at one of these 3 types of partnership. And trust me, you never want to build your business alone. It doesn't make any sense for anybody to build their business alone. There are lots of people out there who need your services, need your products. And if you can get yourself on the radar to connect with those clients, why would you want to do it alone on your own, right? So that's where it comes with a partnership. Now, sometimes you have access to several people that can benefit from somebody else's product. And so you promote them. So in that situation, you're a promotional partner. Sometimes you have a product and you're looking for a person that that can share that message with their clients. So then you're a production partner. Sometimes 2 people become production partners together, create one program, which is actually one of the biggest parts of my business, by the way. And then the other one is business partnership, which you're a partner in entire business. And then each of these also have smaller categories, like promotional partnership in itself has 5 categories or 5 different types of promotional partnerships. Business partnership is just a straightforward. And then production partnership also has different categories of production partnerships.
Great, Iman, as you explained it very well as well. But can you simplify it? What problem you are trying to solve for your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a perfect question. So one of the things that happens with coaches, consultants, authors, speakers. So we're talking about service providers that the real thing they want to do in the world is making an impact. They're not really marketers, but they have amazing knowledge and information that can make a huge impact in other people's lives. They always feel like they are the world's best kept secret. Like constantly, they feel like they're the world's best kept secret, right? They don't know how to, like, they have this message, right? They're like, they have this burning desire at their heart that they want to go and change people's lives. And then they are like, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. I can't focus on one target market. I can't focus on one topic. So they're not necessarily educated in marketing. So what we do in Success Road Academy, we help people to package that knowledge and message. We help them to put it into a system and process. And we help them to build a marketing funnel to be able to deliver that message to their target market. So technically, people come to us with having lots of knowledge and not knowing how to package and sell it. And then within 6 weeks, we help them to package and sell it. And then after that, we help them on now how to take it to make it a 6-figure or 7-figure business.
Great. So do you have any competitors, Iman?
Oh, yes, a lot, actually. We have a lot of competitors. And I actually have some competitors that are like world-known experts. So they're not just experts, like they're world-known experts. Like, for example, last year, Tony Robbins launched a program called Knowledge Business Masterclass or Blueprint. I think it was called Knowledge Business Blueprint. And it was the exact system that we are teaching people, a little bit different in certain areas, but it is actually what we are telling people on how to build a knowledge business. And Tony Robbins came and launched that program, sold 10,000 packages in 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So that's 10,000 potential customers of ours that we could look at. We are like, oh my God, like we're competing with Tony Robbins. And I mean, like we're nowhere close to where Tony Robbins is, obviously, right? But here is another part. The moment that Tony Robbins launched his program, and I mean, like we have so many other experts, other world known experts like him that actually teach the knowledge business world or experts industry world, like Brandon Bouchard, another person has Experts Academy that teaches actually very similar stuff to what we teach. But here is one piece. when Tony Robbins launched their program and Experts Academy, all of those things, my team were coming to me. They're like, oh my God, Iman, what are we going to do? Like, we're not going to be able to compete with him. I'm like, no, no, actually, we can. Like, this is the best thing that has happened to us in our business. And people are looking at me, they're like, what do you mean this is the best thing that has happened to us? I always tell them, like, wait a second. Have you ever, like, if people are interested in sales, do you think they're going to only buy one book in sales? You never find a person who's interested in sales to just buy one book in sales. It's a series of books in sales. They buy series of books in marketing. They buy series of stuff. So the fact that he came out and he started, like Tony Robbins came out and created that demand in the market. Now, all these people next year want to learn more. Where do they go? They come to us. Right. And here is another piece. It actually, Gallery, this is, I want to actually point this out because this is phenomenal for people to learn. I had a student several years ago and I had a very successful company before he started working with me. And obviously after working with us, like he grew his business by 2.5 times in about 3 months. But like when he started working with me, he said the sentence that really changed my idea around how he created his own success. He said, Iman, one thing I learned early stages in my business is that I should always use my weakness as a strength. And I said, well, tell me about that. He said, when he was 21 years old, he started as a financial advisor. At this time, he was 45. But he said, when he was 21, he started his business as a financial advisor. And he said, his mentor in his business said, use your weakness as your strength. You are young, you don't have any experience. And when you are trying to sell your services as a financial advisor, everybody's going to tell you, why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to you? You have no experience. You haven't, you're not a millionaire. You haven't saved any money. Why should I listen to you as my financial advisor? And think about it. Why should they listen to you? Here is why. Because you are young, you're hungry, you're willing to go do the work that those millionaires aren't willing to do that for their clients because they're not hungry anymore. And tell them exactly that. Say, this is exactly why you need to hire me, because I'm young, I'm hungry, and I'm willing to do things that those millionaires aren't willing to do for you, right? And so here, like in a scenario like that, people came to us, they're like, well, why wouldn't I go and buy Knowledge Business Blueprint? And I said, because we're a small company. We care about every single person, work with every single person very closely, and we help you to get actual results as opposed to you be one in 10,000 people for us. And people are like, wow, that makes a ton of sense. So if I'm going to your 18K mastermind, I'm not going to be one in 10,000. I'm going to be one in 100. And so I reassigned a mentor that can actually know me and trust me. And you know, those pieces, and by the way, in no way I'm saying that, like, for example, their organizations isn't giving people support. But that's the whole point, is like, understand how you compare with other companies. Now, we are much bigger than many bigger experts in the world. Like, we are much bigger than other people, but we are much smaller than others, right? So we are kind of like a mid-sized company with what we are. But we understand what our benefits of working with us against those bigger companies are, and what our benefits against working with the smaller companies are. And we can actually properly explain that to the customers who want to work with us and bring those up with us.
I love the story there. And I think, there's a lot of great, great messaging there. And, you know, if you're new to something, it doesn't mean that you can't be better at it. It just means that you have to think differently about it. I love how you bring that element of the financial, your student of the financial background that didn't really have the financial background then jumps in and just takes a different angle on it. But one thing that kind of resonated with me with that conversation, Iman, is that, you know, you say personalization and smaller. What do you do with scale up then? How do you scale that up to make sure you maintain that personal effect so that when you do reach the level of 10,000 that Tony Robbins is, you know, how do you maintain that still, that personalization?
So remember I said that we are a mid-sized company, right? So we're not super small, we're not super big, we are just that mid-size, right? But so here is how we are actually maintaining. So we actually have that challenge as well in our business, but here is how we do it. We look at smaller cluster of customers as opposed to one large group of customers. So when we have 100 students in one program, we technically have 4 programs of 25 that all run at the same time. So for example, when people come to my event and we have 400 people at the event, right? We actually don't have one 400 person event. What we actually have is 16 25 person event. So how do we do that? We assign one one-on-one coach to every 25 persons that are on the call. And when they come to the event, right away at the beginning of the event, we send them to the system. We're like, go to this address and assign yourself to a one-on-one coach. So when they come to the event, they actually go book a one-on-one session with one of their coaches. And bam, like in the first 2 hours, everybody is assigned to their coach. So we have, it's not a 400 person event, it's 16, 25 person event that when I'm presenting to all 400 of them. But when they are experiencing as just 25 of them, and they have a one-on-one conversation with their mentor, right? And so that also, one of the things we did, we created a certification training on the formula. So I have a certification program for Ultimate Course Formula. I have trained mentors who can train Ultimate Course Formula instead of me. So even if I can't show up myself, I have a certified mentor who can do it.
I love it. Tell me more about this team.
Yeah. Where do I begin? So the team is actually amazing. So one of my biggest skills is hiring amazing team members. One of the things that I have quite a few number of YouTube videos that I talk around how we hire team members and the weird procedure that we have for hiring team members. Every team member that we hire, they go through 7 interviews. And the first interview, we scare them. Like we literally like go to town. Like I get the worst day of their life, worst day, right? And I present it as if it's a recurring thing happens every single day. Like, for example, I say, well, in your role, you are going to help us with setting up for the events and you are going to go through the events. And every day we're going to carry these 25 to 50 pound heavy stuff. We're going to set them up. We're going to go to the back of the room. And by the way, your day begins at 5 a.m. when we are doing the events, right? And I talk about this day that they're going to work till midnight. Right. And I mean, like, and then we're going to do like, we have this for like 15 days in a row. And like every day we're going to do this. And like, and that's not the reality. Like the reality is that maybe like it's only 3 days and then, right. But then here is the thing, but like I scare them, like serious. Right. And I wait for them to see what they say. Right. And then here is two ways that I hear. Like one, some people as they're hearing, they're like, you know what? You know, this sounds like a lot of work and this is not something I'm interested in. So I'm not right. Or somebody will say, you know what? I'm not at that point of my life. Like one, like maybe years ago, I wanted to do that, but I don't want to work that hard anymore right now. And I'm like, that's totally fine. And that's why we call this a match interview. We want to see if you're a good match for the role or not. Right. And then there are the ones that like the moment I say that, they are like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, like, okay. So like, this is not like, right? But, like that's the first thing, like first call, the way that the first interview is to repel people, right? And if I fail at repelling them from working for the company, then we are like, oh, okay, so this is a potentially good person for us to continue interviewing, right? Then at that point, I send them to the rest of the team, and generally the people that interview them, one is my operations manager, second one is the person that will work with them in the same team. And the third one is the person who will be their manager, right? So then they will interview them and we get together. So we do a first round of interviews. So we do 10 interviews. For example, we're interviewing 10 candidates. Like, we're interviewing 30 candidates. We, like 20 of them get repelled right at the beginning, right? The other 10 go through these interviews, and then now, after the first round of interviews, we come together, and here is one thing. And I want people to actually hear this for those of you who are looking for a job or those of you who want to hire team members. We never book an appointment with a person that we are interviewing. We ask them to book their appointments. What does that mean? For example, let's say four people want to interview this person, right? First, Iman begins, then Dave, then Galera, then Rafa, right? So here is what we do. After they did the interview and I think they are a good match and I want to send them to the first round, I'm like, okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to contact Dave. Here is Dave's email address and you are going to book an interview with Dave. And I text Dave. I say, I passed your contact information to that person. They have 5 minutes to contact Dave to book an interview. If it's it's longer than 5 minutes, they are not the right match for my team. Right? Dave does the interview and then passes them to Gallery. Text Gallery, pass them on to you. 5 minutes. They have 5 minutes to contact, right? And here's another thing. When Gallery gets on the phone, for example, if this person's role requires report writing, Gallery is going to say, sorry, right now that I'm interviewing you, I don't have access to a computer to take notes. Can you do me a favor and take notes on our meeting and right after the meeting, email it back to me and say it only once. Only once, right? If by the end of the interview, the person doesn't send the notes to Gallery, Gallery knows that this person doesn't listen to instructions, doesn't follow what they need to do. And if they send it, then Gallery can go and look at the report and see if she likes the report. Right? So that interview process, so we do this one round and then we have a meeting. We have a team meeting around the 10 people that we interviewed. And we're like, okay, so let's talk about person A. And we talk about this and we look at the discrepancies between the people that we interviewed and what happened, right? So I say, like, this person answered me this way. And then, for example, Dave says, oh, but this is what came up in my interview and these are not actually. So those are red flags. For example, actually right now I'm interviewing someone. On Sunday, I had a conversation with them and they said, so what's your salary expectation? And by the way, I asked salary expectation first interview. I don't wait like till last interview like other people. I just ask it first interview, right? So I asked first interview, what's your salary expectation? And the person said $20 per hour. And then right after me, my production, operations manager did the interview and said $25 per hour to my operations manager. That is a huge red flag for us. Okay, because like we want to understand what happened between Sunday to Monday, that changed from $20 to $25 per hour, right? Now, might not be about the, it's not about the money, it's about the stability of the mindset of this person, right? And that's another piece. When we are hiring, we never hire hard skills. You can train hard skills. What you hire, we hire soft skills. We hire soft, we hire stability, we hire communication skills, we hire excitement, we hire going above and beyond, we hire, and that's why we scare them, because we want to scare them to see if they're the people that go above and beyond, or they're the people that they're not willing to go above and beyond. And that's exactly why, like, if something is happening and it's 2 a.m. and we need to do something, I actually tell you a funny story, Dave. We had a three-day event called JVX back in 2018. And my team, I had a team of 35 people at this event. About 9 of them were the core team of the event, right? So these people did a three-day event. We had an evening, a VIP evening the day before. So we had my team at this point was working 5 days in a row, 16, 17 hours every day, right? And we are celebrating 11 p.m. Sunday night, 5 days straight working. And we are all sitting together around each other and we are just looking at each other. We're like, aren't you guys bored? And they're like, yeah, we are bored. We're like, what do you guys think if we create an online course and break the world record of the fastest course ever created? Every single one of the team members, they're like, yes, I'm in. Like, these are people worked 5 days, 16 hours, and all of them there. We actually broadcasted this live on Success Road Academy's Facebook page. You can actually go watch this. Like, you see, like, people are laying down and tired. And suddenly, the moment this comes up, the whole team is excited and gets up. It's like, okay, how do we? And in 65 minutes, we broke the fastest course ever created in the history, fastest online course created in history, and we got the first sale. You can watch this whole thing live on our Facebook page. And that exactly is the team I want. the team that even 5 days working and all of them are excited and ready. And like, that's the team that I know if anything happens, they can pick up things and they can move forward. And they are there. They have their vision in the business.
So I love it. I love the element of the culture. I don't know why I'm getting in culture. And the team building, because it's so important to find the right individuals that are going to support your vision and where you're going to go, and they're going to help you get there. Like, I love the story of you all breaking this record with the course element, which is means that they're invested as much as you. And I think that's another problem, another challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is building these teams and taking that culture and, you know, as the company grows, keeping that culture growing. So is there any words of advice, Iman, that you would throw out to the to future budding entrepreneurs that could help them be more successful in developing these teams?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things with the teams is understand, okay, this is actually the biggest advice I can give you. Remember, if you could fire yourself, you would 10 times a week. Right? I'm sure every entrepreneur has made mistakes that if they could fire themselves, they would. But because they are stuck with who they are, they are stuck with what they know, then they can't fire themselves. So guess what happens? They improve. They get better, right? And it's the same thing with the team. If you could fire, like, and here's the problem. Like, I see so many entrepreneurs, they hire a team member. The team member makes a mistake and they go fire them. And I'm like, how? Why? Why did you, like, what? Right? What's wrong with you? Go back. I tell you a story, Dave, actually here, like several years ago, I hired a JV manager that was doing all my joint venture work, all our relationships. And he made a mistake that cost me $100,000 in 1 hour. In 1 hour, he cost me $100,000. And I mean, like, literally, it's very hard for me to lose my patience. At that point, I was sitting in front of my monitor. I was like holding my hair out and I was just like swearing. I was like, what? Like, I mean, like, just swearing, right? As I imagine we lost our biggest partner. Here is why. Because he got the webinar time wrong. So we had a webinar at 1 p.m. He announced it at 11 a.m. But this was a 1,600-person webinar. So we lost 1,600 potential clients in an hour, right? So I'm like, I'm devastated at this point, right? I'm sitting here, don't know what to do. And so he calls me and he says, now I'm still angry. I'm really angry still, right? But he calls me and he's like, Iman, I'm going to resign. I'm like, why are you resigning? He's like, I just cost you $100,000. Before you fire me, I want to resign. I'm like, why do you think I want to fire you? I just spent $100,000 to train you. You just cost me $100,000 to train you. You will never, ever make that mistake again, will you? And he's like, no, absolutely not. I'm like, that's exactly why I shouldn't fire you. Because if I fire you, the next person comes and makes the same mistake. You just cost me $100,000 to train you. Right? But you just cost me $100,000. Go fix it. I need another webinar with this partner in 6 months. You just screwed it up. Just go get it fixed. And I learned that. Here is why. Because several years back, I made similar mistakes. And at one point, I made a mistake that I really thought if I could fire myself, I would. And I thought, but I can't. Actually, that was the last time I fired an employee. So right now, one thing we do in the company is we have an exit strategy for every team member. So we have an entrepreneurial academy, and we say same as our students graduating, our team members also graduate, meaning that all of my team members have to, this is a must, all of my team members have to own their own business, and they have 2 to 3 years to grow that business to six figures and leave the company. Now, I tell you why I actually have this rule in my company. The reason I have this rule in the company is because I know on average right now in the industry, people quit working for a company in 3 to 5 years. And we know also that 80% of people hate their job. So we know 80% of people hate their job, and people on average going to stay with my company for 3 to 5 years as employees. Then why don't I use these two pieces of knowledge and empower my team members? So when they come on board, they know that they have 2 to 3 years to build a six-figure company on their end, and they exit the company. So earlier this year in January, a team member of mine exited the company with $500,000 company. She owned $500,000 company and still working with us. And I was like, okay, so you graduated from the company. I don't want you to come. So instead of just having it as like we fire you, we create these roadmaps and make sure that they actually go through the roadmap and they exit. Now, one of the things that many of my competitors do is that they always only hire employees. But I don't agree with that, because I always say I can't build an entrepreneurial academy on the shoulders of employees, right? I can't have like people that are learning how to be entrepreneur on the shoulders of employees. I mean, just, they don't understand each other. So that's why I only hire entrepreneurs and help them to grow their business, same as they are helping our students grow their business.
So Iman, at the last suggestions for student, we have international students come to the Vancouver, what do you suggest to start their journey in the entrepreneurship?
I'm going to actually give you two pieces of advice. One is for any entrepreneur out there, and the second one is for your international students who are coming to Vancouver. I have several rules when it comes to business. Rule number one, the biggest mistake an entrepreneur can make is not to make money. This is very important. Many entrepreneurs wait until they have things perfect. And then when everything is perfect, they try to launch. Guess what? That takes 4 months, 5 months, 10 months, 2 years, 4 years. And that's the biggest mistake you can make. The biggest mistake you can make as an entrepreneur is not to make money today. And your number one responsibility as an entrepreneur is to serve your customers with excellence. If you have these two on top of your mind, that you need to make money today and you have to serve your customers with excellence every day, those two, you keep it on top of your mind, and then now you're good to go as an entrepreneur if you actually live true to those two statements. Now, this is for any entrepreneur out there. But for your international students coming here as international students, few things. Number one, never think your age is going to limit you. Never, ever, ever, ever. I remember when I was 19-year-old, I was running my company. It was an IT company. I was sitting around the table, and everybody around the table was 60-year-old plus on the tables that I was sitting. I was the only 19-year-old. I was still a teenager sitting with these 60-year-old plus people. I was making deals with them that I was winning deals and winning bids against like many of them. So never let your age get in the way. Don't think, oh, I'm only 19, who wants to listen to me? Only 18, who wants to listen to you? If that's your thought about you, that becomes your reality. That's number one. And number two is make sure that you network. You network, network, network. Network every single day. You want to become an entrepreneur, network with other successful entrepreneurs. Don't go waste your time playing games. Don't go waste your time doing things that don't give back to your career. And remember one thing. As an entrepreneur, have a final goal and never get married to the process that gets you to that goal. Focus on the goal and be flexible around all the procedures that gets you to that goal. Remember your goal. Remember the reason behind your goal. And do whatever it takes to bring it down, and never, ever, ever, ever settle for less.
Thank you, Iman. Thank you very much.
remember to visit us at www.youcanwest.ca/innovationfuel to pick up our next episodes. Or even if you have a great story like Iman here and you need to tell it and we need to hear it so that we can bring it to our students or to our audience to help educate them to be that much better and successful in life. We look forward to hearing from you.